Greetings. Greetings, my dear fellow listeners to Republic Broadcasting Network. Today is the 17th of March in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2024, or maybe more. This is yours truly, Myrrh. We have a chat room, yours truly, myrrh.chatango.com. And there's several things I want to cover here, but I'm going to start with a prayer. I say a prayer before the show anyway, but I want to say one to help us all of us listeners, and hopefully the electronics hold up and everything. So, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being with us all the time. Please keep our connection secure here and help listeners understand the message and listen for themselves and to think. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right. So, been a while since I just chatted, and I want to do that today because there's so many things I wanted to cover. And one of the things was 91 years ago on the 9th of March was when Rosenfeld bankrupted the country, making us enemies of the state. They went to agencies. And then in 93, 31 years ago, Jim Trafficant read into the congressional record, and of course he wasn't given enough time, but the whole record is in there. So I have these links, and I'll try to get them in the chat room, but I'll have them in the description in the archives for sure, all the different links. Also, 13 years ago, on the 11th of March, was Fukushima, and it was no fake. I see people saying that. No. No, some of the radiation came right across here because the jet stream breaks here. And what it was the Israelis, they had a contract for security. And what they do is they get visas. They go into countries. They work their way up from street level stores and whatnot and get into the government. And that's what they had done there. And they brought in what they called a camera, but it was really a nuke gun. And Jim Stone, one that calls himself Jim Stone, covers this really well. And I have links for that, although they've tried to scrub them all. And he hasn't been heard from since October on his website. And he said there that it's probably really done all he can with it. But I'm concerned for his safety. His wife and the Jews around her, even some pretended not to be Jews, were really after him. And he's had many run-ins over the years. And he was formerly NSA also, we're told. So, and then a third thing here is Kristi Noem, South Dakota. She wrote into law, the anti-Semitism gold standard, the Jewish News says, of laws against anti-Semitism. So, where are the laws against calling all of us goyim, cattle? You see, we're not into censorship. We took out the N-word for black people because we knew it wasn't right. But where's the law to keep everyone from saying Nazi, Nazi? That was invented by Conrad Haidt. Well, it was mutated, actually. He took German word and just meant Nazi, and he changed it around a bit. And that was in, like, 1927. He was a Jewish publicist, K-O-N-R-A-D-H-E-I-D-E-N. You can look it up. And so that has spread like wildfire. And never to stop. And if you think about the phonics, the phonetics, and we've said this on here before, or I have, not see. What are you saying? You're declaring you refuse to see. So it's time we see and hear and share and laugh. Because all of it really is kind of laughable. Now, there's another disturbing thing. A Jewish witch named Karen Berg is the only Jew on the Kentucky Senate in the state of Kentucky. And whoever before her stepped down. Now, I don't know what that was all about, but got her out so they could get this one in. And she was trying to get a law through for child-size sex dolls to keep perverts busy, that would be better, that would keep them from going after real children. Well, I think that's just an appetizer. And you can look that up, and you can see when she's talking about this, and all the others in the legislature are like rubbing their face and looking disgusted, you know, because it's just stupid. And I think they did withdraw the bill. And then I have here about Rima Leibov, is how it's pronounced. And she claimed to be a Jewish child psychiatrist. Now, she was Bert Stubblebine's wife and doctor and kept him alive on several instances. But and he was into all the, like, MK Ultra stuff and the Stairs at Goats movies. You can see, oh, they make big joke about it, you know, where they're using mind control. When he broke his leg skiing, she made sure, as his doctor, that they gave him intravenous vitamin C. So he healed rapidly, so that was a good thing. But, like I said, she claimed to be a Jewish psychiatrist for children, and she claimed to be Adam Lanza's psychiatrist. Adam Lanza never existed. Okay? His brother Ryan does and survives the stuff. And they try to say how, oh, GE Capital were the bad ones. Well, no, and we've gone over this here before, or I have. With the changing of the Smith Act, was modernized by Obama in 2012, or he got it through the legislature. He was tasked with it. It's the Jewish bankers behind it all, damn it. You know, so the 1948 law was modernized then, and right after that, if you look on a graph, and Reddit had a good one, and you can see that these false flags, these staged events, started directly after that, and the one before Sandy Hook was, or Sandy Hoax, was the Aurora Theater in Colorado, and that was fake too, and I've talked about that. James was apparently maybe Robert's son, Holmes, that is, Robert Holmes. But Robert Holmes and Peter Lanza for Sandy Hoax and Ryan, they gave, I think, gave an ultimatum. You let us play as if it's Adam and we won't come after you. I think that's probably how that went down, judging by how green he looked when they were putting him in the car. It's all about the LIBOR scandal, and they changed the acronym for that, of course. That was London Interbank Overnight Rate. And the scandal went on and on, but they were to testify in the Senate about that. And, of course, that couldn't happen. And some of the ones in camouflage in the woods at Sandy Hook, you could hear them speaking Hebrew, apparently. So we'll get into that some more. And there's some stuff I'm going to get into at a later date. It's just too much for today. About the witches and the Satanism and Oprah Show on 1987 with Lori Cabot Kent, and more stuff with Jesse Saboter and others involved in this and coming out of it. But and I hope to get to in the second hour about the Matrix, the real author, and the intention of it, the immortals. So that'll take up most of that hour, and see if we can get everything in this hour. On this topic, Sam, if you can play that number one clip, please. Here we have Stu Peters, frustrated, blowing off steam.
When the whole country is falling apart, you look to, well, who's leading it? And you have all these unelected Jews, and you're like, oh my God, it's all the Jews. And then I go on Alex Jones, and I'm like, look, this is a big problem, the Jews. And then I start digging into it more. And like every conversation that I have, I mean, it could be about food that's bad for you. It could be about what's being sprayed in the skies. It could be about, you know, the dog food that you feed. And everything is Jews. It's all like everything that's going wrong in every sector of life. It's like the person that's leading it happens to claim to be Jewish. And so I like cognitively made the decision. I'm going to try to pull back and not have this tunnel vision. And so it's like, well, these Catholics, oh good. The Catholics are finally, you know, behind something. These fake Catholics are ruining our country with all of this immigration stuff. And guess who's funding the fake Catholics? The Jews.
He's sitting there with Vincent James. I don't know who was interviewing whom, but that was a clip someone picked up from that. And Vincent James is of the Red Elephants, which I haven't paid much attention to, but he didn't look totally thrilled that that's what was being said. So I don't know. Maybe he was the one to be responsible for it being on the air. But I can see Peter's getting so frustrated because he's starting to realize, you know, like he says, goes on Alex Jones and all the ones, and they block it. And, so we're going to see some of that right here at home. We have when William Ripellum filled in for Richard Carey, if you want to get that number two ready there, Sam. And we're just going to hear about 4 minutes. This is Jim in New York, but he always went by Jim in Brooklyn previously. And he's called in other shows and always gets down to being angry about Christ, that God wouldn't have come through a woman, and ones that practice the communion are cannibals. And it is a ritual. We don't have to practice it, but it's not cannibalism. But anyway, we're just going to hear the last few minutes. But it went on for 20 minutes, so you can find that. It was March 4th, the second hour of the Beyond the Official Narrative. So go ahead, Sam.
When the Jews went out of Egypt, God did miracles for them, holy, holy, pure miracles from heaven, manna, and the splitting of salt, et cetera, et cetera. Now, when Jesus went to Egypt, he went down there and he learned magic from Egypt. Was the seat of real magic. We don't have magic today. All we have is sleight of hand and illusion. But he learned real magic and came back, and in front of a few people, cronies, he walked on water. That is, how can you compare that satanic magic to God himself splitting the Red Sea for 600,000 people? You're on the satanic side.
Wait a minute, hold on a second. I didn't say anything about the parting of the Red Sea. That's in the book of Exodus, okay? That's part of that's part of the Bible.
Right. Okay? I'm saying that Jesus went to Egypt, learned magic, and he was a satanic magician and walked on water for a couple of people. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
He was nothing. He was a satanic magician.
Satanic magician
you are following a satanic magician, and your mind is perverted. There is no God but the God of Israel. He brings
you. If that's the case, then why isn't the world following the natural law? Why have the Jews been subverting everything natural for the last 2,000 years? You know, like they're subverting our culture, everybody's cultures. And you're coming. You're making a distinction. You're not giving me a concrete example of the distinction between the religious Jews and the non-religious Jews.
Are you telling me that the
religious Jews are helping the world?
Are you telling me that non-Jews have no gumption?
That they can stand up and do it? You a question. I'm asking you a question. Can I ask you my question, please? We only got a second left.
How can you be subverted?
Okay, listen
to
my question.
How can you be subverted?
Listen to my question. My question is this, okay? How have the religious Jews helped the world in the last 120 years? What have they done to help the world?
The world, okay, the world does not exist.
Not just Jews, the whole world.
Right. The world does not exist except for the sound of Jewish children studying Talmud in their classrooms. That's what it says. The world exists on the merit of Talmud study.
Okay. There you go.
That's right.
So what are we supposed to do as non-Jews, then?
You're supposed to be a man, and don't blame it on other people. That's what. You're blaming it on every other people, and you're just a weakling. You're telling me you're a weakling.
No, I don't think so.
You're a weakling, and it's all somebody else's fault. You're shameless. You're shameless. You have no gumption. You're blaming you on other people. You should be ashamed of yourself.
So what am I supposed to do instead? Shut up? Really?
Yeah, and
that's what the Jew wants me to do. Shut up. Yeah, of course.
No, you're talking
totally
bullshit.
Expected.
You're talking bullshit.
So we've actually got you to come out and show that you're just like the rest of them right now. You know, you're just trying to get everyone to be silenced and stop talking and stop telling the truth about what you guys are doing. And that's not going to happen. You can kill us. You can kill as many of us as you want to. You're not going to stop the truth from coming out. You're not. Good luck. All right, folks, I think we're at the end of the show. Wow, that was a very good show.
Yeah, it was a very good show. Like I said, that was on the 4th of March, and so you can go back and listen to that whole thing. The audio wasn't really good. Jim, I don't know what he was doing with his phone, but so if you listen to it yourself, you'll get a lot more out of it. He says, like Nathaniel Kapner kind of brushes off what was going on in the tunnels. It was a mikveh, and they have their children there, and so whatever was stained on the mattress. Now, this guy says, Jim in Brooklyn, I'm going to call him because that's what he always called himself, said that it was, how he worded it, but a young guy doing it with a girl that was on her period. That's not the exact words he used, but so that's nice and moral too, isn't it? That's what he claimed, the stain on them. So, you know, their minds have no morals. You know, like in Deuteronomy, they put the little box on their head when it says you're supposed to keep the law between the frontlets of your eyes. And that's your judgment center and your brain. They have no revelation sense, only flesh sense, you know, kind of how Lorraine Day sometimes put it. They refuse to, because then they'd have to accept all the evil they do, you know, like this guy saying, well, why do you let yourself be subverted, when William said about them doing subversion? Well, they project, okay? Well, why do you have to subvert the whole world, you know? And as a matter of fact, the God of Israel is Jesus, too. They're all one. They refused and rejected their own Savior. So, did I ask you to get number three ready? I think I did. Okay, and then I'll discuss after what was in it rather than before. And so if you have it ready, we'll go ahead and listen to that one.
And we have Murr Bailey. Hey, fellow RBN host, Murr, welcome.
Oh, thank you, Richard. Good to hear you and Scorpio Dave there. As he mentioned about the Kaifeng, if you go to fitzinfo.net, that's the Fitzpatrick Informer, there's an article from 21 about how the Jews brought communism to China. And they've been there a long time. And this is the thing, there are way more Jews than we're aware of, because they're indistinguishable from their populace that they've invaded, because they've inbred with them, you know, or crossbred or whatever. And James in Vancouver has a lot of information because he lived over there, so he kind of knows. He's the one that told us, like, when the fellows were falling flat on their face, right? And we were told it was because of the Divok, right? Well, they trained them to do that in their martial arts schools. Be able to fall flat on your face, you know? So there's so many things going on there. But what I really called about was at the beginning when you said, don't send in lump sums. Trust them with your information. And I get it for a steady income, but I don't think you meant to say don't send in your lump sums.
No, I did not. Like, thank you, Murr. Thank you so much for correcting that for the listeners, actually.
Yeah, because these are adults here, and it's going on 3 years they've been managing this entirely, and they pretty much managed it before when John was alive. It's just there's different things that have to be taken care of now than then. And they can ration it out how they need to, right? So send your lump sums if you got them, folks.
Yeah, no. Good way to stress that both are equally very appreciated. David, right. Is there anything you wanted to say to Murr? Or Murr, did you have something else you wanted to, that we've talked about today? Or?
Well, you were saying about the chat rooms. I could just say briefly that, yeah, and I had opened that one for Scorpio, and so I'm monitoring it, and I'm monitoring it pretty good. If it's, you know, got crazy stuff in there, it goes. It just goes. And that's the reason to have one that you're in charge of, you know? So I'm just.
You know, I appreciate you doing that, Murr. I appreciate you opening the chat room up for me and just keep an eye on it. I thank you for that. But overall, it's good stuff in there. And
yeah,
and you're right. You know, about the donations. I think however people feel comfortable doing it, that's the way you should do it. But it really is important, as free speech truly is under attack. So, and there ain't no free lunch, guys.
If you got it, give it. It'll be appreciated.
Hey, thanks guys. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye, Murr. And, hey, we have Joe in Florida on the line. Hey, Joe, good to hear from you.
Yeah, so I wanted to play that just so you know, towards fundraiser, and remember, send what you can when you can. It's definitely appreciated and definitely direly needed. You know, at least $300 a day to run this. So that works out to $109,500 per year. And it's leap year, so that's $109,800 if it's just $300. But there's always other unforeseen expenses, so count on it being at least $110,000 to run this network per year. And if you want to get the next one ready, but I have something to say about what we just heard. The next one is number 4, I think, with Fetzer. But there's some things that were in the chat room, too, where people were listening and heard James in Vancouver come on and have some things to say about what he notices on RBN that we maybe all should notice. A Chabad caller, as we'll hear, called into Fetzer from Ontario about how he knows one of our hosts. And, you know, and there's good things about knowing about it. But, yeah, so if you have that number 4 ready, we'll listen to that. Thank you, Sam.
In Vancouver, James jumped on. James in Vancouver, what did you want to add?
Yeah. That woman's name is Rita Leibov. You guys got to brush up on your Yiddish. She's from the Einstein Institute. And I figured she was targeting Stubblebine. Leibov. Well, W is pronounced as a V in German and Russian. Okay? So she's a Jew.
Uh-oh.
Wow,
wow,
you
didn't know that. No, I didn't know that. Really.
Some guy called up today from the Chabad Lubavitch who claims to know Slattery, Dr. Patrick Slattery, and he's talking to Fetzer about this and that and this and that, and Chabad Lubavitch is not dangerous, and they're only interested in, you know, knowledge. That was, I think, the way he put it. So. A bunch of.
I like watching. Adam Green covers a lot of that stuff real good, too. I like watching Adam Green.
Who's Adam Green? I'd like to know. Who's
Tell him, Stephen.
Do you have an Odyssey channel or?
He was welcomed by Israel with open arms. Him and Jake Mofonius while they were detaining the pro Palestinian activists at the airport and shaking them down. They waved through. Adam and Jake Jake Mofonius come right on in. They were very welcome there. And that does make sense about that doctor and Stubblebine from the latest video I saw of her. I mean, it's maybe a week or so old. Some woman had interviewed her. I watched most of it. Pretty interesting, but the story she told about Stubblebine very much sounds like she may have been targeting him, just as you described, sir.
Yeah.
Wow, that's weird.
I don't know. They didn't help Bert, and they didn't this, and they didn't that. Y'all like BS. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'll let you boys go on your quest.
Well, she claims to be channeling him now from beyond, like it's a seance.
Well,
he is getting messages from him. Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yes. That was basically the gist of her last video that I saw.
Well, all right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks.
Have a good one.
Okay, I got a little ahead of myself there. Fetzer is number 5 coming up, but I want to say a little more about this. You hear Stephen jumped in there. And I've been saying this for so long, and people, you know, they don't want to hold up the law, okay? And the law is the Ten Commandments. And the first one is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And people routinely ignore that and make a god out of other people or other things, but more often other people, because they're denouncing Christ, they like that, or whatever. But this is the whole problem. You know, we're the crown of creation. We're designed to worship our creator. So when we worship these rock stars and idols, movie idols, you know, what's that saying, huh? So this mainstream alternative media, as David Icke calls it, the MAM, is similar. We have these characters that, you know, are put out there as if they're, you'll notice they're not really interrupted or anything on air either. They get to say whatever they want. As long as they're denouncing Christ, That's a big plus. And elevating the Jews or ignoring them, or the exact opposite, pretending to be against the Jews. So this is the telltale thing. And I've said it before, I think, here with Adam Green. I found it amusing when he was on another program on RBN, how he, after going through all his debunking and denouncing of Christ and whatever, he bragged about being European because, guess why? He sold his DNA to a Jewish company to tell him who he is. So, you can trust them. They'll tell you. Yeah. They're not going to tell you if you're Ashkenazi if they don't want you to know. And they may tell you if they want you to think you are, so you think you're part of the club. And I know some Scandinavian people that did theirs, and yep, sure enough, they're ash cans. So, or at least a small amount. So the next one, I guess, is number 5 with Fetzer, if we're ready with that.
Let me join the conversation.
Yes, good day, sir. Can you hear me, sir?
Yes.
Oh, what a pleasure it is, again, to speak with you. The first thing I want to do, I've got 2 points. Once I want to offer thanks, and second, I want to talk about Chabad. So, number one, this is the best goddamn show on radio. What you have achieved here and how you've managed to do this and reconcile all these things and take over Rivero's ship and make it faster and stronger, it's an incredible scenario that we experience here. All the news in 1 hour, every story, as they say, you digest for us, you give it to us, and then you listen to us bitch for an hour. So who the hell? This is the best fucking thing that's ever happened on radio, you know?
Okay. Nice. Very nice. I'll take it, Vladimir. I'll take it. Go ahead. Keep going.
Take it, Captain, sir. There's never been a better, faster, stronger ship. Second thing, I want to talk a little bit about Chabad. Can you
wait
me over?
Okay, we've got... we're on break. And they went to break, too. So when we come back, we'll hear on the other side of the break there on Fetz's show with Vladimir in Ontario. Thank you, Sam.
Are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org, T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S. Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S secret.com.
Consider this. dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Alrighty. Looks like we're back, and so we'll go some more into this on the other side of the break on Fetz's show.
Vladimir in Ontario, continue. Persevere.
It is amazing how the Beatles have taken on new meaning for me, and all of this bumper music now tokens the intro to philosophy for me. What an incredible thing, and how you resurrected that. In any case, I'll just take one more minute or so. I want to speak quickly about Chabad Lubavitch.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So this was a couple, a few weeks ago, a month ago, or whatever, with the tunnels, a big subject of discussion on the network and a big matter of concern for you, right?
Right.
So Chabad is an acronym standing for Chokma Bina Da'at, which, you know, essentially means wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. And that, it should seem to me, was our purview in the philosophy department. Correct, sir?
Yes, yes.
That being the case, I concur with Dr. Slattery on this account, that Chabad, and I studied with Chabad for 10, 15 years. It's a very benign, inconsequential movement, and it has nothing to do with the Jewish power that is unfolding in front of us. Chabad is kind of like the Jehovah's Witnesses of the Christian project. They're all more or less poor by you know, Jewish standards, and Chabad has nothing to do with Jewish power as we know it. And the tunnels, sir, I mean, they went to a mikvah, so the only possible thing is that there were teenage boys screwing girls on their period in those tunnels. But, this, you know, the bloody mattresses and so forth, that's, I mean, I stand with the absolutely anti-Zionist project. Sure, there are conspirators, absolutely. But I don't think Chabad is among them. They just don't have enough power within the Jewish project. So Leila sometimes also, she says things in Hebrew that are not correct. They're not even the correct interpretations, but those who don't know how to speak Hebrew, they just accept it and you take it her as like gospel and she's some, you know, great thing. But Leila makes so many mistakes, you know, every time she speaks about things happening in Hebrew. You know, a few little mistakes, okay? But enough to make it consequential and not make her the authority for this network on what is Jewish and what is Chabad and what is all of these things, okay? So,
well, that's okay. Very interesting. I wish I were in a better position to evaluate everything you're saying, but I find it extremely interesting.
What I'm saying, sir, is that I am the least of the Zionists on the planet, and fortunately, or maybe not fortunately, I'm one quarter Jewish, but stand with RBN and have for 25 freaking years on this project because no Zionist should prevail. But the fact is that when we need intelligent opposition, it's founded upon emotional responses and so forth. It's got to be conducted the way you're doing it and saying, look at the facts on the ground, for example, in Gaza, instead of emotional testimonies and so forth. Anyway, I'm all of the callers here are so great, such intelligent. For 2 hours, it's my sanctuary every day, sir. Keep it up. You got a great forum here. Okay,
Vladimir, I'm just thrilled with all of that. I'm just delighted. I look forward to your next call, and thank you for this one. Excellent.
Yeah, so that's very good, and it just shows how Jim is doing such a good job there in that time slot, and people feel free to call in and speak with him. But I meant to give a title. I haven't done that before. This is number 48, and being as 48 figures into Jewish history, in every century it seems 48 has some way they mark time or something. But I was going to title it Screechy and Clawy. That's his first hour. And that's what was said about them during the Ernst Zundel trials in Canada. And, of course, they eventually wore him down, arrested him, took him and tied him down to a bed with the light on all the time in Germany in jail and wouldn't clean the sheets and whatever. So it shortened his life, of course. But he had like a two- or three-story house building in Canada, and I forget, Montreal maybe? I'm forgetting. But anyway, he had a whole team. This was before the internet and everything, so they had a whole team and a really good lawyer. His last name is Christie. And you can find all about these on BitChute. Just put in Ernst Zundel, E-R-N-S-T-Z-U-N-D-E-L, and see what you can find. You know, it's very interesting, but they got Screechy and Clawy. Okay, they came after him whenever he was coming into court. It was just like a bunch of vultures trying to descend on him because he was telling the truth. I think his book was, Did 6 Million Really Die? And the way the title was written kind of looked like a cross shape. And he ended up wearing a hard hat and carrying a cross into the court. And one of the things they did was one of the Jewish men there at the courthouse was looking up at the ceiling. And this was a clue that you better not give that exculpatory evidence that showed from aerial photographs that what Ernst was saying was true. And they're liars. And this would have really put a crimp on their hula hoax, which had been going on for about 20 years at that point, not quite. Because he really didn't kick it off until the 60s. And I said elsewhere, I don't know if I said here, but one of my best friends growing up, this blonde, blue-eyed, very German-looking woman with a girl at the time with a kind of deadpan expression. And her father was like that, too. And her mother, though, was this petite, kind of swarthy-complected, very black, curly hair, and very into nutrition and everything, and happy. But I think she was Jewish, and I just didn't even think of those things at that time. So there were two sisters, two siblings here, and the elder looked just like the mother. And I think she ended up having diabetes or something later and whatever, but moved with the parents to Florida. And my friend lived in Indiana, and I just lost touch with her after school. But she had pictures she was showing me of how they threw around the German corpses and saying they were Jews, remember? And so all this stuff. And she was just fascinated by it all. And but they were just starting to get into that. I don't even think they called it a Holocaust yet. It's just trying to work on people. And the other thing they did in 61 was the trial for Eichmann, Adolf Eichmann, and they took him to Tel Aviv and tried him and executed him. But they weren't getting a response from people, and they wanted people to think that just average everyday people are wicked and even evil and will kill. And that's what they were trying to say about the Germans, although they were the ones genociding the Germans. You know, the like William said in that clip, you know, they control with the money the other armies, the allies, the all lies, the all lies. And they were genociding the Germans. But so then they had Stanley Milgram, his experiments, and he was Jewish. And there again, to make it look like normal people would just torture and kill other people, you know, proving out their Goyim thesis and their evil, you know, projecting their evil onto people that weren't. And Philip Zimbardo, the same thing. He's Jewish, and he still does his things, but with the prison experiment, and his girlfriend and then wife was the one that made him stop it. But the people that they used for that experiment were specifically chosen to play the roles they did. It wasn't like everybody was just suddenly evil. You know, they had a predetermined outcome, both of these. And Al Whitney, that's Anita Lauren Whitney, who had a show here at RBN, or a rip there, Whitney. And she had very good information about that, how these two men, Milgram and Zimbardo, growing up, thought they were picked on as Jewish children. And so they're getting even the rest of their life. And they're told they're better than everyone else. I mean, you can tell by this gym in Brooklyn how, you know, it's your fault if you get taken in by our evil. So why do you have to be evil? Can't you be trustworthy? No. Well, that's not honoring God, whoever you think God is. And he's not just the God of Israel. He's the God of the whole world. And he also, this Jim in Brooklyn said there to William about crossing the Red Sea, that Jews crossed the Red Sea. Well, that was the first time they were expelled out of the 1,030, or actually 1,031, counting Afghanistan now. And they weren't Jews. They were Israelites, which were looking forward to becoming Christians. That's what the whole thing, all the way back to Abel. That's why he had a perfect offering for the Lord. This was all looking forward to Christ mitigating the sin that Adam and Eve had caused. And a lot of things, too, with that serpent seed, like I had played, and people will, you know, oh, it's all Eve's doings. No, God held Adam responsible. You know, why weren't you watching what she was doing? So, but we're all responsible, each one of us now, because we know. We don't have any excuse not to know. So, anyway, apparently I had changed some notes that I gave to Sam. I switched a couple around, so that's why I gave the wrong number there for the one time. But I think we have next, Sam, is, we want to play the rest of that one after Vladimir. There was some more good information with Rick in Arizona talking to Jim Fetzer. So if you'll play that, Sam, please. I'm sorry. I would have told you. Is it too hard to get to it? Because we can play it later if you want. All right.
Join the conversation.
Yeah, well, just a couple of things quick. Yeah, you know, if they're going to bring in Big Mike, then you know the Democrats are really needing Trump to be the president. I mean, the blacks won't even vote for her. And next thing, Candace Owens, all right, she's on board with Stu Peters and King Bao on Monday night. Stu Peters said that the Jews killed Michael Jackson, all right? And that's what this Rabbi Shmuley crap that she's talking about is threatened to destroy her because her interactions with Kanye West.
I'm pleased you're spelling this out because it wasn't all clear to me. Now, Stu Peters is just a brilliant guy. His stuff is just sensational. I mean, I only catch it now and then, but it's so damn good. Why did the Jews kill Michael? Oh, he was starting to ridicule Judaism, wasn't he? He had a song where he was talking about kikes, right?
Screw me, Jew me.
Are you there?
Kick me, kike me.
Yeah. I said, did you get it? I mean, Michael Jackson was starting to ridicule Judaism. He had a song where he was talking about kikes, right?
Yeah. In the early 1990s, they started destroying the popularity of very strong and respected black people like O.J. Simpson and Michael Jackson. And then after 9/11, they put Michael Jackson on trial for child molestation, which he was cleared. But you see, they had to destroy Michael Jackson's popularity in the white world. They had to turn Michael into just another N-word before they could whack him. Because if they would have whacked Michael Jackson when he was at the height of his popularity, the heat would have been too hot. They could never have shut down the investigations. But so they destroyed Michael Jackson's popularity, and then they figured out how to get rid of him. So Candace Owens is in big trouble. I don't know if she'll survive. They're coming at us with, you know, grit teeth. They got Kristi Noem out there taking away your First Amendment. Who's the next state? Who knows? But, you know, I'm almost sure that it's going to be Joe Biden in November, because Biden kids are married to Jews. Okay.
He's not a viable candidate. I mean, his numbers are the worst ever. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Mr. Fetzer, the Democrats are in on putting Trump back in office. I'm telling you.
Oh, they're in on putting Trump back in. So they want Biden's oil to Trump.
Yeah.
And why do they want Trump in, the Democrats?
Oh, because Trump is going to deliver gun control. You can't take guns away from Republicans with a Democrat. You need a Republican to take away your gun. You see?
Yeah, that's
what's going to happen.
That's fascinating, Rick, and I do think you have a mind for this, but I don't think that. I sure as hell wouldn't put up with that. Oh, to hell with that! If Trump made that kind of move, I'd jacked it 100%. Yeah, go ahead.
He banned the bump stocks, and he gave us the red flag law. You got 21 states, Mr. Fetzer, that have red flag laws because of Donald Trump. Yeah. Okay?
I agree those are bad. Those are bad, Rick.
So the deal is this. North Dakota, Montana, Wyoming, they will never pass a red flag law, no matter how much you bribe them. But if Trump gets the senators, to introduce legislation for the federal red flag law to cover the whole country, then they got the flyover states, which are never going to pass it. I'm just here to tell you, in my opinion, in my mind, everybody wants Trump, the Democrats and Republicans, because they've been doing these shootings, Fetzer, for 20 years, and they haven't been doing them for nothing. They need this crescendo when Trump is president. These shootings are going to go crazy, and then Trump is going to deliver the big covenant. Thanks for taking the call.
I'm listening to you, Rick. I think you're running up very good red flags about what may be yet to come. I'm very glad you called in. Excellent stuff. I look forward to the next. John in Michigan.
Okay. Now, Aaron Zellman had an outfit. He was Jewish, and Michael Getty knew him well. And they, I don't know if it's from a distance, I'm not sure if he met him or not. But he was very supportive of guns, that we need them. And he died at 64, and we were talking about this elsewhere. And the Luciferian Brotherhood, the Illuminati, whatever, 64, that's 8 times 8. That's the chessboard. And there's so much involved in that, like with masonry and demonic stuff. And Blackbird 9, Frederick C. Blackbird, knows a whole lot about that. And I've heard from others, too, researching about that, why they use 64, and how some men that know about this and they're involved in this, and they get very nervous when they're 64. But he may not have been involved in that, but they took him out anyway. Hard to say. But he was a good Jew. Okay, and there are. So, and as far as Candace, and some of this is so hard to tell because she's married into rich white Brit and with the Pilgrim Society and all that. So some of these are setups because they have to have controlled opposition. Like I was just saying about Milgram and Zimbardo, they had to have something to whip the people up into a frenzy to believe their lies, the whole hoax lies. And I think we're gonna run out of time for this next one on this side of the hour. But I wanted to remind everyone, happy St. Patrick's Day. And yeah, I had rearranged them. I gave them to you that way. Yeah, so I think the next one's 6 minutes from Patrick Slattery's show, and I think we'll probably. I thought we could maybe squeeze it in, but it'd become pretty close. So instead, though, if you'll play number 7, can you do that one? That one's only 2 minutes and 9 seconds, and we can hear that more than once. Okay, let's go. Here's Farrakhan.
Now, white folk don't like Farrakhan. Some of them respect me.
That's right.
But those who have been our deceivers, they can't stand me. I'm not mad with you. In fact, to the members of the Jewish community that don't like me, thank you very much for putting my name all over the planet because of your fear of what we represent. I can go anywhere in the world and they've heard of Farrakhan. Thank you very much. I'm not mad at you.
You do?
Because you're so stupid. Don't you know? My teacher, Elijah Muhammad, taught me one day. He said there once was a donkey that fell in the ditch. And everybody came along, they picked up a stone and threw it at the donkey. They threw so many stones till the ditch got filled up and the donkey walked out. So my teacher said, brother, remember, every knock is a boost. So when they talk about Farrakhan, call me a hater. You know what they do. Call me an anti-Semite. Stop it. I'm anti-termite. I don't know nothing about hating somebody because of their religious preference.
Yeah, so Farrakhan likes nuts and seeds like I do, and so he would get them, you know, sent in, and he had some tested because he was feeling ill, and turns out they were poisoned. It was poisoners after he said this, right? And he's in his 80s now, and so it knocked down his health quite a bit, and it was radiation. I forget what kind of poison was going on there, but that's, you know, it's what they do. Did it in 1300s. And I guess people have recovered since, but that was another eugenics and just a crippling of people, though. The epigenics, their numbers were, you know, so knocked down. We had Wat Tyler in 1381, and they ended up stabbing him, but he had a big peasant revolt because there weren't enough of them to grow food for everyone because of what happened 40 and 50 years before. So you have a couple generations there that, and we're going to have that now. People are still dying, and they're doing everything they can to make sure they die in many different ways, including carving up their genitals so they won't reproduce. It's insane. So you need to ignore the media. But do we have time to play number one again, Sam? What do you think? Okay.
When the whole country is falling apart, you look to, well, who's leading it? And you have all these unelected Jews, and you're like, oh my God, it's all the Jews. And then I go on Alex Jones, and I'm like, look, this is a big problem, the Jews. And then I start digging into it more. And like every conversation that I have, I mean, it could be about food that's bad for you. It could be about what's being sprayed in the skies. It could be about, you know, the dog food that you feed. And everything is Jews. It's all like everything that's going wrong in every sector of life. It's like the person that's leading it happens to claim to be Jewish. And so I like cognitively made the decision. I'm going to try to pull back and not have this tunnel vision. And so it's like, well, these Catholics. Oh, good. The Catholics are finally, you know, behind something. These fake Catholics are ruining our country with all of this immigration stuff. And guess who's funding the fake Catholics? The Jews.
Okay, people, we'll come back on the second hour, and I kind of want to we'll finish up this and get into something else. Thank you.
Going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.